email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, you might recognise him from Misfits, Love, Hate, The Umbrella Academy, and he's currently starring in Endgame by Samuel Beckett in the Gay Theatre in Dublin, and he's a writer as well. His book was released at the end of last year. It's a collection of short stories, Disappearing Act, and he's the most exotic thing ever to come out of Portlaoise. Robert Sheen, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you, you flirt, you.
You are the most exotic thing to come out of Portlaoise, aren't you?
Well, I'll happily accept the title if it's going. Yeah. I don't think we've had an exotic man or woman of the year pageant in Laois for a while.
Well, you'd be a shoo-in.
I'd go back for that.
Yeah. Great to see you.
You too.
Congratulations on the book, because... First of all, the cover, people have told you, it's an amazing, eye-catching cover. And I didn't know what I was getting into, because this is your first book. I see Patrick McCabe loved it. I'm a huge fan of Patrick McCabe. Yeah. And I actually read the funeral one, which was printed in the Times. And I immediately thought of Patrick McCabe.
Yeah, because there's a slightly unstable small-town man who's longing for someone else.
And Liam and Sinead.
And there's this, I suppose... with the butcher boy,
yes,
both, you know, they're both. It's almost like the reader has won over the character who they're reading. They, you know, that yeah. there's.
So
a sense
have
of
you
unknowing.
Have you ever seen the play version of that?
No,
Frank Pig Says Hello. Mm. I think you should bring it back, and you should be in it. There's only two.
Frank Pig Says Hello.
Yes, that was the play, and then the butcher boy was the book and the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But the play was amazing. Sean Rock, who does Arena here, was one of the actors in it.
All right.
Yeah,
did Pat write it for the stage?
Yes,
as well?
He did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's got a play coming up at the end of March, this month actually, in Smock Alley, called
right.
Country and Irish, I think it's called. Yeah. I'm hoping to get to
Have you met? Do you hang out with him? Or?
Yeah, well, yeah. I've saw him recently there. We'd great. Yeah. Yeah, he's a story machine, is
yeah.
Pat McCabe.
He's great company.
Are
you drawn to people like him?
People like him?
Yeah, well, you know, he's sort of, you know, he's a writer, he's a creative, he's on his own admission, he's a little bit out there.
Oh, yeah. By all means, yeah. I'm drawn to oddballs, you know.
Yeah.
Marginalised eccentrics. They make for an interesting evening, definitely, yeah.
So, Beckett, and you drove this in that you wanted to do it. So
yeah.
you were sort of the energy behind it. Mm. It wasn't like somebody had decided to do it and rang you or your agent.
Mm.
So tell us about that.
Well, my agent is a lovely woman called Rose, and she's from Limerick. And the two of us were sort of, you know, for the past few years, most of my work has been on camera. And that's a sort of a creative challenge in itself. But it doesn't get to the grain of the joy of acting. I'll be absolutely honest with you. It's very, very fragmented. Its priority is technical and... You know, it's after a while can be kind of draining and shrink your creative box.
Right.
So after a few years of that, myself and herself were kind of waxing lyrical about the idea of going back on stage. And she's been a lifelong Beckett devotee, I would say, and that's not underplaying it. And I'd read Endgame and I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to do like a bonkers Endgame, you know, somewhere. And Frankie Boyle had recently joined the family of the agency. And we said, you know, Frankie would just be amazing, you know, from a kind of a intriguing kind of thing. And also a commercial perspective, he'd sort of tick all the boxes. And we just sent it to him. And without hesitation, he said, I'd like to do that.
Because he hadn't acted before.
He hadn't acted before. And he got very, very much into the deep end of the pool.
Yes, he did, because there's only four people on stage and he's on stage for most of it.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah. He has to kind of navigate his way through the subconscious of a neurotic from 60 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and it's no easy feat, not even for an actor of 30 years.
And how did you convince? So he didn't require any persuasion.
You know, which was pleasantly surprising. I'll be honest.
You were pushing an open door.
Yeah. It seemed to be. Yeah. I think he's an exploratory dude, and we did a preliminary reading of the play, And he said what was interesting was he loves going to theatre himself, and he loves when he sees an actor get a laugh from a look,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it sort of goes back to what you can do on stage and what energy you can create in a room. And Endgame represented to him, I think, a different avenue into creating a different energy, you know, from an audience and everything else. And
rather so than stand up.
Yeah, he wanted to challenge himself.
So people who haven't had the opportunity to see it live, they're lucky because they can now see it, a streamed version of it. So tomorrow night, March 24th, and it continues until March 26th. And it's streamed at 7:15 worldwide for those. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's it, three nights. And if you go to gaytheatre.ie, you can get your tickets for that and book it. And it's very easy online to do that. I'm thinking it was his first time to act. And with the book, it was your first time to write. Did you have chats about that? Going into out of your comfort zone, into different spheres of creativity?
Yeah. And I'd been kind of little farting thought bubbles into, you know, into my phone for a good few years. But then when a sort of a publishing contract came around, it required a very different part of my brain to sort of, quote, write these things. With deadlines and with, you know, make them polished and all that stuff. And that was the kind of greatest challenge of it. But Frankie has written quite a few books, I think, in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was a nice guy. And he even
gave you a thing for the back.
A nice polish with a quote.
Lots of great stories and voices.
Yeah.
Frankie Boyle.
Yeah.
Leaves the reader amused, exhilarated, and really quite delighted. Patrick McCabe.
Nice one. Ray, I should be hiring you, man. My PR team.
So you were just saying before we went on air that you've just done the audio version of it. I think that will be very popular.
Yeah, because most of the stories are in the first person and in the present tense. Because I wanted the... And most of them are...
In people's heads.
A lot of them are in people's heads. And so I wanted the reader to be kind of catapulted into the present moment as much as is humanly possible, and only out of the present moment at times, and it to be noticeable. Do you know what I mean?
You're fascinated by what goes on inside people's heads, and most importantly, your own.
Yeah, probably.
And you've taken to meditation and to try and sort that out a bit. You know,
but well, not so much sorted out.
Understand it, or
enrich life. I think because there's a lot of, there's a lot of circuitry. There's a lot of mental activity as a result of the circuitry that's been embedded from the past. You know, and so we all repeat patterns. We all sort of can be emotionally hijacked or egoically hijacked in the subtlest of ways throughout our day. And that interests me from a personal perspective and from a performance perspective. You know what I mean?
So here's... Because I have these chats daily with my wife about, you know, it's just a thought. It's just, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... It's fleeting. It's moving on.
Yeah.
Don't entertain it.
Yeah, because there is the Ray who can speak very presently to himself, and then there are the thoughts that appear from the darkness of where?
Yeah, where?
From the past.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, where else is it from?
They're annoying. Get out of my head.
They're a sort of muscular memory, you know.
You were getting those, and they were what?
Why we all get them?
Yeah,
you
know, but I'm talking to you about you.
So you were getting them endlessly.
Endlessly, yeah. And were they interfering with your, you know, getting through life?
Some aspects of life, yeah. Some aspects are definitely holding me back, but some of them come along with sensation, and they're the ones you want to watch out for. They're the ones.
Go on.
They come along with a sensation of intense aversion to a situation that doesn't require that.
Right. So these thoughts then they transform into actions. Is that it?
And well, they can in the body.
Yes,
in the body, certainly. And then that probably transforms into an action externally.
Yeah.
An action that you later regret.
You're right.
And you go, what was that just happened? And why was I overridden in my own physiology?
But this is about being human, isn't it?
Yeah.
Robert.
Yeah.
Like it is fascinating. I don't think we talk enough about what it is to be human.
We don't have a lot of I mean, you know, it depends on who you ask, but there's not a lot of collective linguistic model around speaking about the nature of the absurd nature of what it is to be a human being. And I think that's kind of what the book is a little bit satirical of, is here are some very marginalised, insane people doing insane things because they're sort of governed by their own, their themselves, ultimately, that there is a sort of a embedded self that is governing things that if they stopped and took a conscious breath for 5 seconds, they'd be able to look at.
Right, and not
perhaps,
do it.
Yeah, maybe, or you know, if they looked at it enough, they would perhaps diminish the power of it if it's something that's causing a problem in their lives.
Just back to Liam and Sinead and at the funeral. And I actually, it hasn't happened to me a long time, mind you, I don't read horror books or anything like that, so probably that's part of the reason. But I did jolt when that happens. I'm not going to give it because it's a spoiler. That like, because I was happy enough living in Liam's head and he was fantasizing about Sinead, whose husband had just died.
That's made my day.
And
Ray,
then out
really
of nowhere, that happened. And I was just, whoa.
Yeah, because thought becomes action in a terribly catastrophic way.
Yes, yeah. And there's no going back. That's the
there's
thing,
no
isn't it?
There's no going back. And that's the weird thing about regret, isn't there? That it sort of dangles the sense of going back somehow in front of you.
Of course it does. What and if then, I didn't do that? What if I didn't turn that corner?
And then it...
That last drink.
Yeah. Why did I spit in that fella's pint? But
Do you get into trouble? When you're out, you know, you strike me as a person because you're loud and you're not loud, but you're big, larger than life, and sometimes people, you know, see that as a target.
Well, I think, you know, that might be a sort of a past version of me. I'm a bit more relaxed these days.
Yeah.
But generally, no, I didn't invite antipathy.
Right. And when you look back at your past self, was that a contrivance or just youth?
I think both are probably one and the same, or certainly in my case, you know, youth is about wanting a lot, you know. It's about sort of seeking what one needs externally a lot. And I was no exception there, you know.
And what did you want?
I think I wanted prosperity, you know, and I sort of saw prosperity in the form of success. You know, success was a big part of what I wanted.
And that was that particularly Hollywood success? Was that
acting? It meant ultimately to break it down, you know, because I had never done so before. It meant a sort of approval, like, you know, there's a grown up word for approval, and that's acclaim, you know, and it's the same thing. It's just needing. And what is approval? Approval is needing, I suppose, a better guarantee of safety from the rest of humanity. I suppose it's better to be exalted than condemned.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was always seeking.
But it's also affirmation that we're doing the right thing. We're doing it to a certain standard, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose we can't exist in a vacuum.
No.
Yeah. So I suppose a lot of my energy as a younger man was sort of devoted towards seeking affirmation, and that arrived in the form of charm, or it arrived in the form of acting or performance. Do you know what I mean? And so I suppose when affirmation is the priority, performance is where the energy goes, and performance by its nature is contrived and draining.
Yeah.
So like
and
it's prohibitive of just being.
Yeah.
And I suppose meditation for me is discovering the uncharted territory of being, that there is so much joy and enrichment from just stopping the wanting, the judgment impulse, the desire impulse, and just seeing it and carrying on with the day as naturally.
Which is lovely. And you sell it really well. But you have to get to a certain level of success before you can achieve that.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Because, you know, we all have inner activity going on, irrespective of whether or not. I mean, obviously it helps to have food in the fridge and money in the bank in order to have a sense of relaxation and stillness.
Yeah.
But then again, that's not to say that someone who's on the dole can't relax.
No, that's
you know?
True. Yeah. You just back to something you said earlier on, because we nearly have to go. But Mark Rylance, who is in this brilliant new movie called The Phantom of the Open, which is brilliant. He plays a real life character. But I read an interview with him where he loves the stage, and he does the other stuff just to allow him to, you know, put bread on the table and have a certain sense of security. Yeah. And he can't wait to get back on the stage after doing the Hollywood project.
He is immense on the stage, that man.
I've never seen him. He's just brilliant.
He's incredible. Yeah, he really is. He has so much fun up there. He's so completely uninhibited that it's thrilling to watch, you know.
You can watch Robert Sheehan in Beckett's Endgame, and it's streaming from tomorrow evening at 7:15, Friday evening, same time, and Saturday evening, same time. And if you go to gaytheatre.ie, you'll find out how you can watch that. And the book is still in bookshops, Disappearing Act, a collection of 16 short stories by Robert Sheehan. Great to see you, Robert.
Thank you very
Enjoyed
much,
that
Ray.
Chat. Thank you very much. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.